So good evening, everybody, and welcome to Shift Church. I say good evening because for those of you watching live on Facebook, this is evening, but it might not be evening where you are. You might be watching on YouTube, or you might be listening to the podcast, in which case it isn't evening. So just good, whatever time it is for you. My name's Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints Church in Wellington, and I'm here tonight. Or whatever time it is you're listening. I'm going to keep falling into that, aren't I? I'm here with Sarah.
Yeah, you are.
Say hello, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah, and everybody out there. Welcome.
And Sean, say hello, Sean.
Hello and welcome to everybody out there.
We've just been discussing how cold it was today in various bits of the area, where we had nice walks out in the snow. It was beautiful. You did manage to get outside at all on Wednesday. It was lovely, really lovely.
Absolutely. And I've not got, like Sean accused me of, I've not got a Christmas jumper on late. This is my weather forecast jumper. I might make this a new standing thing. Perhaps I ought to wear a jumper that reflects what the weather's been like today every time I'm on. So today has been snowy.
Which isn't going to work for those who are listening to the podcast. For those who are watching the video stream, for those who are listening to the podcast, Sarah is wearing a jumper with snowflakes on it.
I am indeed, and today is Wednesday, and it snowed today.
How many weather-themed jumpers do you have, Sarah?
I probably just end up having to wear orange if it's sunny, grey if it's cloudy.
Oh, no, man.
Does that answer your question, Tim?
It does. You know, before we start up, we normally decide who's going to be looking at the stream, at the comments and things. But I don't think we talked about. Oh, Sarah's got them.
Sarah,
there.
Yeah.
I told you. I said I'm on the stream.
I wasn't listening.
And I was. Well, you're a man. So I was just about to say, I'm joking. Hi, Ali. Hi, Sandra. Charlotte. Liz as well. Liz Carter, sympathies for your husband, dear. Only joking. He's a wonderful, wonderful man, and we love him to bits. Sue as well. Hi, Sue. Good to see you. Welcome, everybody. And anything you want to say on the chat, anything you want to comment on, then please do so. And we'll bring you into the conversations.
Absolutely. And if you don't happen to be watching live or listening live, you can, of course, email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. And you can email questions or comments or thoughts, either on things that we've talked about this week, or at the end I'll tell you what we're going to talk about next week, and you can send some stuff in. Oh, yes, remind me, guys, I do need to talk about next week at the end. I need a bit longer than normal because it's different.
Yeah.
Have you got your plans for pancakes for next Tuesday sorted?
I don't eat pancakes, really, so...
Oh, so, Sarah, no. What about you, Sean? What about you and the family? Do you do pancakes, lots of pancakes?
We do, yeah. And, yes, we will be very much indulging in that, I can assure you, with various things to have with it, like ice cream, chocolate, you name it. We'll be all ready to crack on Tuesday.
Very good. Now, I was talking to some folk last night who seemed to think that on Pancake Day you had to have pancakes for every meal.
Oh, that sounds good.
I think that would be a bit much.
No.
Well, if you're in America, they have pancakes for breakfast, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they have. It might be a bit much every meal.
But they like to have pancakes with like meat, don't they? Like they have it with
bacon on the top.
Yeah.
Ali loves pancakes, so I bet Ali will be having some.
Well, in France, you can have savoury pancakes, galettes, can't you?
Galettes, yeah.
I like
crepes. Is crepes the same thing? No,
those are sweet ones, I think.
That's
galettes,
sweet.
Galettes are the buckwheat ones, aren't they?
I remember that.
Yeah, when we could actually go to France.
Yeah. Not this year.
No, not this year. Anyway.
Just Anglesey, Bob William.
There you go. So welcome, folk. We're going to make a kind of proper start in a minute. You're particularly welcome. This is your first time joining us on Shift, either live or listening on the podcast or catching up later on YouTube or Facebook. And there might actually be some new folk with us this time because we ran some Facebook ads this week. And Sarah got us a feature on UCB, which is exciting. So if you're dialing in for the first time, you're particularly welcome. Do say hi in the comments stream. Do let us know how you found out about us so we know which of our advertising actually works. That would be great. And if you're listening, if you're listening on the podcast for the first time, drop us a line, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and tell us about it.
Just to mention, Tim, that for those who don't know, UCB is United Christian Broadcasting. Not everybody knows that, you say so.
Okay, fair enough. Yes, it's on digital.
There you go. It's also a pharmaceutical company, but the one run by.
Yeah, it's on digital radio. So if you've got a digital radio and you want to dial into them, UCB1 and UCB2, I believe, you can find on digital radio. High quality Christian broadcasting. Even higher quality than this. Significantly higher quality than this.
Impossible. Can I just say that Liz Carter, I think you're talking about Gillettes and not Gullets. Yes, she's asking if they're life jackets. So
no, Gillet. Gilet. Do you like my French accent?
Absolutely.
That's it.
Right, I'm going to try and put some order onto this. We are this evening continuing to think about our value of exploring, and we're particularly thinking about creativity tonight. So we're going to start with a poem, spoken word piece, just an example of someone's creativity, just reflecting in some poetry on the experience of lockdown. And how can we use that, and how might we think about it? You might not agree with everything in this poem. I'm not sure I do. But actually, sometimes that's part of creativity. It prompts us to think about things and why we disagree with them. So that's fine. So wherever you are, if you're live with us, just take a breath. If you're at work, out for a run, walking the dog, washing the dishes, whatever you're doing, just take a breath. And just a moment to be aware of God's presence. And just to reflect for a little minute as we start. If you can't go out, you can stay in. If you can't go out of your home, you can stay in your heart. If you can't go out of your heart, you can begin to sense its beat. If you can't see new people, you can appreciate those who are not new. If you can't make them larger minded, you can try to be larger hearted. If you can't be larger hearted easily, you can try to be patient with yourself. If you can be patient with yourself, you can be patient with others. If you can be patient with others, you can let them be who they are. If you can let others be who they are, your heart will grow larger. If your heart can grow larger, you can be more grateful for people. If you can be more grateful for people, your heart can expand even more. If your heart can expand even more, you can love more. If you can love more, you can be happier. If you can be happier, you can love even more. If you can go out, you can't do all this. If you can't, you can. So that was some creative writing. And now we're going to got some Bible readings which reflect on this theme of creativity. Firstly, from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus. Who's reading for us from Exodus?
I am.
Excellent.
So I'm going to be reading Exodus 31, verses 1 to 11. And the title is, excuse my pronunciation because it's very difficult, Bezalel and Oholiab. Then the Lord said to Moses, See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, and son of Hur, of tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ishamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. I also have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you: the tent of meeting, the Ark of the Covenant Law with the atonement cover on it, and all of the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, and all its utensils, the basin within its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you.
Thank you very much. And Sarah, what's that other Bible reading?
We're going right to the beginning of the New Testament. We're going to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Just while you're looking for that, just a couple of things actually to point out that John writes a bit of a different gospel to the others, Matthew, Mark and Luke, because they tend to be telling the stories full of facts and what have you. John tends to be a little bit more about, you know, the profound meaning, really, of what Jesus has said and done. And it's more about living, how to live in the Christian faith. So John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Amen. Thanks, Sarah. That's great. So,
sorry, Sean, I had an easy ride compared to you.
Yeah. You did, yes.
That's all right. You rose to the challenge really well, Sean. That's fab.
Absolutely.
Shall we pray? As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I wonder how you react when somebody says we're going to be talking about creativity. Are you the kind of person where your mind immediately jumps to paint or fabric or bits of wood or things that you can make stuff with? Or are you a bit more, you shut down completely, you think, well, I'm not very creative, so this can't really apply to me. Or maybe there's frustration for you that church in your experience hasn't given you very much space to express your creativity and your creative gifts. So this evening we're going to be exploring all of that a little bit, and thinking about our reactions, positive and negative, and how we might kind of go forward together. And I guess my starting place is that I believe that creativity is a universal human characteristic. I think that creativity is a universal human characteristic. Mm. And the kind of things that make me think that is my kids. And not just my kids, but I think every kid. One of the most common things they want to say is, come and see what I've made. Come and look what I've made. Whether it's Lego or stickle bricks or mud or whatever, I think anybody who's ever known a child has at some stage, that child's come and said, come and look what I've made. So from a really early age, children want to make things and they want to show you what they've made. And fridges up and down the country are decorated with works of art. Yeah. Well, daubs of paint anyway. It just seems to me that we have an inbuilt desire to make a mark, to create something that wasn't there before, to express ourselves creatively. And actually that shouldn't surprise us, because right in the first book of the Bible, in the first account of creation in Genesis 1, it says this: so God created human beings in his own image, which means that every human being bears the stamp of God's image. And what's God like? Well, the first words of the sentence: so God created. That's the first thing we find God doing in the Bible, is making stuff, creating. And we heard that in John's account of Jesus' life as well, that Sarah read from us, for us. Through him, all things were made. So God's creative. We're created in God's image. So we are a creative kind. It's fundamental to our humanity. So that's like a baseline creativity, which I think we all have. But it is true, I think, that above and beyond that, certain people have certain specific gifts of creativity. And Sean read for us about Bezalel and Oli. Anyway, those two guys. And it's in Exodus. So basically, the people of God were in slavery in Egypt, and God sent Moses, and we had the let my people go bit, and they come out of Egypt, and they're on this exodus from Egypt into the promised land. And on the way, we hear about these gifts, and it's one of the first mentions of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, and it's one of the first lists of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're probably more familiar with the New Testament one. So what gifts of the Holy Spirit do we familiar with in the New Testament? What kind of things?
Prophecy, speaking in tongues, healing.
Yeah. All those kind of things. So if you think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, those are perhaps the kind of things you think about. But what do we have here? Metalworking, jewellery, wood carving, other crafts, making perfume. They are gifts of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we got that bit about all the things they were going to make. And it might seem a bit kind of weird, these tents of meeting and basins and things. But basically, those are all things for worship. They were all things to help the people of God worship. And actually, that's where the connection is between the gifts of the Holy Spirit here and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Because whenever there are gifts of the Holy Spirit mentioned in the New Testament, it always says they are there to build up the people of God, to help their worship. But I wonder if sometimes in the church we've been guilty of thinking the New Testament gifts of the Holy Spirit are more important, somehow more spiritual than the creative gifts we find in the Old Testament. And then, of course, as we read on in the Bible, we come across musicians who are gifted in being skilled in musical instruments by the Holy Spirit. So that's another whole area of creativity. And then the whole Bible is written. It's a kind of worked example of creativity, of a narrative. And I mean, Sarah was saying that the three Gospels were written in one way and John was written in a different way. They both communicate truths about Jesus, but the gospel writers use their creativity to put those truths in different ways so that different people could understand them and get different perspectives on them.
And the way they express it is, like you say, it's just Matthew was wasn't he an accountant?
No, he was a tax collector. So yes.
But like from Numbers and what have you, so everything is very... This and this.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be a John.
Luke was a historian. John was a theologian. So the two basic things I think are true, that everybody has a baseline creativity as part of our humanity, and some people have particular creative gifts in particular areas for them to use to worship God and to help other people worship God and draw closer to God. So do we need to say anything else? Well, it'd be very short if I didn't have more to say.
I think, just going back to your point about the saying about how we tend to talk more about the gifts in the New Testament, I guess it's probably because generally preachers don't tend to talk much about the gifts in the Old Testament. It always seems to be, you know, talking about the gifts in the New Testament. And, you know, so I think that's probably why, do you know what I mean? That's probably why we don't really know a lot about the gifts in the Old Testament, such as what you said about the creativity side, you know, creating stuff. Yeah. And, you know, so that's quite an interesting point. And maybe, you know, that sort of thing should be encouraged more to be preached on, you know, about the gifts, that sort of thing that you're talking about. Because it's certainly an interesting idea about how using metalwork and woodwork and all that as being creative, because I never didn't really think about it that way in terms of worshipping God.
Yeah. So why, and building on that, so why might it be that we don't preach on that or think about it or see that as spiritual? What is it that has kind of robbed us of this creativity thing? And particularly this idea that, do we all believe that we have this kind of creative urge within us? Do we still have it from when we were young? And I think the sad truth is that some of us have had our creativity discouraged out of us. Told one too many times as a youngster that our painting was rubbish, that we were too messy, that we were tone deaf, that we weren't creative. And there's a Christian writer I really like called Adrian Plass. And in one of his books, he writes about graffiti on the heart. And he talks about the idea that things that are said to us when we're young, they can be like graffiti spray painted or scraped into our hearts. And actually it can be really difficult to scrub it off and to get rid of it. It stays with us. And it can leave us with a fear of what people might say about us or say to us. Fear of failing, a fear of believing we're not good enough. And that can be one thing, I think, that kind of squashes our natural creativity. Sometimes we look at people who have these kind of particular creative gifts, and we're intimidated by what they manage to produce and think, well, I can't produce anything like that, so I'm not going to try. Mm-hmm. We're discouraged in our own attempts. And there's a phrase I really like that I keep coming back to, that comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. It stops us stepping out. So what can we do about it? Well, we can ask God to heal us. We can ask God to come and scrub away that graffiti and put some positive graffiti on our hearts. We might need to find somebody, a Christian friend, to pray that stuff through with. My experience, it takes a while. It can be a keep scrubbing at it and it gradually gets fainter and fainter, and keep choosing to say the positive things and to read the positive Bible verses and to paint over it. And it can take a while, but it can happen. I think one of the things that can help is if we focus on what God thinks about the process of our creativity rather than the output. So in James's letter in the New Testament, it says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And this is a theme all the way through the Bible, that God is much more interested in what's going on in our heart. And it's, I think, much more delighted in us expressing the creativity that he's put in it as part of our image of being the image of God. When we do it as an expression of worship and kind of fulfilling our purpose, no matter what the output is, when we do it with the right heart. But actually, he's much more delighted in that than if there's a beautiful work of art by all worldly standards produced, but it's produced with pride and self-regard. God always looks at the heart and is much more interested in the process and what we're offering to God than actually the outcome. Yeah, sure, we should do our best for God and we should bring excellent things to God. I'm not saying we should just be slapdash about it, but he's much more interested in the heart. And then we can encourage each other in the community. We can kind of call people out and say, yeah, you're really good at that. Have a go. We can build up, we can commend, we can praise. Not to the extent of deceiving people. I mean, sometimes we do have to say to somebody, actually, I'm not sure that's your thing. We do. But there are ways of doing that. There are ways of doing that.
Yeah, there are.
And we can choose.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can do it in a way that is truthful, but most importantly, loving. And if we can find good things to say, we can say them. And also we can create spaces for creativity as a community. And of course, we're not meeting physically at the moment. And so actually the fact that we're all in our living rooms and we can't actually see what we're doing or each other are doing or distract each other by what we're doing gives us some opportunities to play with this. You can experiment as you're listening to Shift Church, as you're watching along now. You could be doing anything. You could be painting, you could be writing, you could be cooking in the kitchen, creating beautiful food. And it's not about being distracted, but it's about bringing something that's creative for you into the worship space and see what it means to offer it to God as part of your worship, as part of your prayer, as part of your learning. If you've done anything about learning styles, some people learn by listening, some people learn by reading, some people learn by doing and actually learn. I was talking to somebody today who was saying that, and she learns by doing, she's what they call a kinesthetic learner. And she was, what was she doing? I think she was sewing a dress or making a dress whilst watching a film. And now whenever she sews, she remembers the film. I think that's what she was saying. I might have got the details wrong. But basically, the physical action had become associated with her, for her, with this film.
Right.
If you're that kind of learner, where repeating the same physical action reminds you of something, well, do that physical action when you're reading the Bible or listening to worship songs, so that when you're not in the worship space and you're doing that physical action, it comes back to you. You might want to...
Yeah, shows great awareness of...
I think also what you said about how do we get people to, you know, what do we teach? And I think, you know, a lot of the time we don't feel good enough. You know, we don't feel worthy enough to do stuff for God. You know, we can't be creative because we don't, you know, we don't think that we, you know, we are right for it most of the time. And that's a lie, really, most of the time, I find, because, you know, so many times I've, you know, when you've said to people about doing certain things or, you know, believe, saying, oh, you're really good at that, and they say, well, actually, no, I'm not, I'm just, you know, I'm useless, or I'm, you know, I should be like this, and therefore I could do that. And it's like, you know, it's a lie. And I guess it's, you know, that's the job, the devil's job, isn't it, to make us believe that we're not good enough, like whispering for our ear that we aren't, we can't do stuff, and that's what he does a lot of the time. And it's quite sad, really, that we give in, I guess, to that lie, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, so you can experiment when you're in some kind of worship space, whether you're listening to Shift Church or listening to a Sunday morning service. Get some pens and paper. Make a mark, just see what happens. Note down ideas. Maybe you'll come up with a poem. So there's that idea of bringing your whatever is creative for you into the worship space, which is easy to do when we're doing stuff virtually. And then the other idea, because of course our life of discipleship and following Jesus isn't just an hour on a Wednesday evening or whenever we happen to be listening to this, it's 24/7. So what does it mean to be conscious of God in our creative space? So whatever's creative for you, whether it's I might even be mowing the lawn, creating a beautiful lawn, if you're into beautiful lawns, or it might be growing flowers. It might be, as I said, in the kitchen, cooking food. It might be playing music. Whatever is creative for you, it might be sat at a computer programming, creating kind of apps for people to use. Whatever's creative for you, what does it mean to be conscious and deliberately conscious of the presence of God when you're doing that? Just take a breath in the middle of it and just, ah, God's here. And I'm expressing the image of God in me as I create here. That's interesting. And then just continue and offer it to God as an act of worship, whatever it is that you do that's creative. Because fundamentally, right from the beginning of the Bible, I think we get to see that God is a creative God who created us to be creative. So there's loads of ways we can explore that as individuals, as a community, because Jesus won for us a freedom. So we can be free of that graffiti on our hearts, which tells us we're not creative. We can be inspired by the Holy Spirit and just get on with it. And if you've got examples of creativity that helps you engage with God, then be very pleased to see them in the comment stream. If you've got questions about it or reactions to what I've been saying, stick them in the comment stream. Sarah will pick them up. Or if you're listening later and you want to join in, stick them on the email, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Sarah looks like she's got some things to put in already.
Oh, there's so much, because you've not given me a slot yet, Tim. There's loads. There's so much about pancakes, but we'll whiz past that. Pancake lasagna, though, sticks in my head. Just on the Bible reading and commenting on the different styles, I have to just stress that David loves the fact that Mark writes like Tigger. So I think we all understand that. But Emily was sharing something beautiful. She said she thinks a mum made a banner at theological college rather than a dissertation. How about that? Painted silk cross with rainbow background and tons of bead working. Amazing. That sounds fabulous, doesn't it?
Yep.
Liz says that the graffiti on the heart is such a good way of explaining the weight of the world we so often live under. Which is really good. Lots of talk about messy church. It's a brilliant example of that creativity. And there also seems to be quite a lot of adults having the adult messy church going on here. So that's brilliant. About just exploring the crafts. Something about Prizley Church. Huge paper tablecloth, Liz tells us, out on tables. Encourage folk to just express themselves. And that's not children. Expressing themselves.
When we were doing things in the school in Prizley, we used to put, you know, like the banqueting roll, the white paper kind of disposable tablecloth. Yeah. We'd put those out on tables for cafe church, and we put pens out and just encourage people to doodle or to write. Because again, that's a kinesthetic learning thing, is that some people need to be doing something with their hands to help to free their minds to concentrate on what's being said.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant as well. Caroline sometimes draws and what have you up front. You know, remember those days when we used to be in church all the time? But she's drawn and painted for us lots of times, hasn't she?
Yep.
Yeah.
During services, which is brilliant. Tab's like drawing during worship. And she likes writing poetry during worship. I didn't know you actually wrote poetry during worship there, Liz. Excellent.
Yeah, it's all good. I've got friends who embroider or knit and pray, and kind of there's a link for them between the stitches, the action of the stitching, and the kind of praying for people. So if you're into embroidery or cross stitch or knitting, you might, next time you're knitting something, particularly if you're knitting something for somebody, you might be thinking, what could I be praying for the person that I'm knitting this for? Or crocheting.
I've seen lots of people in church.
Yeah. So what do we think about this idea of everybody being creative? Are we comfortable with that idea?
Things like that, personally, I think it takes a lot of self-awareness sometimes, because having to realise that not everything is blatantly creative, if you know what I mean. Yeah, you know, you've not got to be a brilliant musician or artist or whatever. You can be creative in so many ways, can't you? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good point again about the drawing from, what we know about gifts of prophecy and what have you, and then well, metalwork and what have you, they're still an expression that is really important, isn't it? So I think understanding that those are gifts in a way of being creative as well as speaking in tongues is, etc., and would perhaps encourage people to see the value in those so-called little things that they can do.
Yeah. What about you, Sean? What's your reflections?
Yeah. Well, I think you can be creative in pretty much anything, really. And I don't think it's about putting pressure on yourself and thinking, well, you know, I've got to dream up this big idea. You can be creative just in who you are. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, I think that's really what's important, you know, just being yourself and thinking about, you know, what does God want me to do? And, you know, and recognizing that actually as a person, you're adequate, you're okay. And that's enough, you know, and not putting pressure on yourself and saying, well, I've got to, you know, walk down the road and stand on a street corner and preach to people, because that's really what God wants. That isn't really. He wants you just to be yourself and be open to what he wants you to do. And you know, if that is just, like you say earlier, like, you know, Tabby doing the service, doing songs, doing stuff like that, and Caroline, you know, doing painting in the service, that's it. That's all it is. It's really, I guess it's quite simple, really, but we tend to overthink it, I guess.
Yeah.
Emily actually is just, Emmy's just, anyone creating anything now? So let us know if you are. If you're listening, that's not on the podcast and you're doing your 10-mile run or something. Although that's creative, isn't it? The route you choose is creative, but you're not going to text as you go along. So yeah, anybody, let us know. Just to, because I know we all love a resource. I've started, it's drawing back to UCB again, actually. But, and the reason I mention it is we're talking about creativity, which links in with creation as you started your talk to. On UCB 2, UCB, they have a 30, hang on, I've got it here, Bible books in 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, you go through a whole book. Now, obviously, you know, if you've got 50, 60 chapters in a book of the Bible, how can you do it in 30 minutes? It's brilliant. It just puts sort of stakes in the ground sort of thing to the key points in each of the books. And then you can sort of go back and walk off different tracks and what have you, and find out more about the different things that were pulled out. But it's a really brilliant podcast. I actually, just so, because when I was looking for the podcast, if you put Bible in 30 minutes or Bible stories or Bible books, you get all sorts. So I actually printed off the image in case anybody wants to see it. So when you go to the usual podcast, that's what it is. It the right way around?
Yeah, it's the right way around. Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, that's, so it's back to front for me.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. So that's the image you're looking for. And
that's not going to help people listening to this podcast.
Okay, it's called, as I say, Bible books in 30 minutes. And what you're looking for is just a blue and white background with pictures of books, drawings of books. But I listened to the first one first, which is called Episode Zero, because it explains how it's going to run. But I've been through, tell me what's coming next, not you, Tim.
I'm
done Genesis, Exodus.
Watching you disappear down this rabbit hole.
What's next? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So next I'm doing
what?
Joshua.
I've lost you completely.
Joshua.
All right. Joshua, okay.
Yeah. Can you not hear me?
You're breaking up a bit. I'm just. I was just wondering how we'd got to hear from creativity, but it's all good.
It's all good
because enough. It started with Genesis. I said it started with Genesis at the very beginning. It talks about creativity.
Okay. I'm with you. Good. That's all right then. Yes. So lots of thoughts on creativity. And yes, if you are being creative while you're listening to this, or you've got examples of your creativity you'd like to share with us, email them to me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll do a gallery or something if we get enough. We'll do a bit of a gallery. I know that Emmy a couple of weeks ago was talking about her journaling Bible and how, and I know that you can get, you know, the adult colouring books you used to get. There was a fad, a thing for them.
Well, you still can get them, actually.
I know, yeah. You can get Bibles. You can get Bibles with stuff in the margins where you can kind of do those as well. So if you're the kind of person who likes those and finds those helpful, there are Bibles out there with that. And if you want to send us photos of that, of what you've been doing on those, do that and we'll stick them in a gallery and share some creativity. Or if you've been doing some metalworking. I had a great... you probably can't do it. The you know the British Iron Museum out at Oswestry? No, nobody knows. Nobody on screen knows. Yeah, over at Oswestry, there's the Ironworking Museum. British Ironworking Museum. It's a great place. And me and my dad, as a joint birthday thing a couple of years ago, you can go and have half a day with a blacksmith there and actually make stuff in the forge, in the blacksmith's forge. You actually go and do some metalworking, like proper blacksmithing. So once it's all up and running, if you fancy having go a bit of blacksmithing, you have to be over 18, I'm afraid. Get together with a friend. Then. No, sorry.
Keep up the good work, Ali. Ali's decorating her new home while she's listening in or watching.
Very good. Yeah, you see, that's the great thing about this being on podcast or just listening in, is you can be doing all kinds of exciting things. An exciting creative project that some of the folk from All Saints are doing is they are opening a new creative cafe, a creative space and cafe in Shrewsbury. Becky and Hope, two of our guys, are going are doing that. And they have just launched a Kickstarter campaign to raise some money to help them do all that they want to do in that, which is going to be very exciting. And I've got a bit of a video to tell us all about it. So the sound's a bit squeaky to start with, but it does calm down in a minute. So over to Hope and Becky to tell us all about Hopefully Made. Here we go.
We are Hopefully Made, an earth-friendly screen printing company striving to be zero waste and showing the world you can be sustainably creative. We found a property in Shrewsbury which will be renovated into a studio coffee shop.
We don't aim just to expand our studio, but would also like to build a community where people can come and gather, share their creativity and passions. We plan to use the openly spaced ground floor as a coffee shop, where we will serve wholesome food, ethical coffee, and provide an atmosphere for community. In the studio, we will run screen printing and other creative workshops, inspiring people to find their individual creativity. We believe that everyone can be creative if only given the opportunity and encouragement.
Our greatest value as a company is our passion for people. We'll be using this space to grow a community that will be home to students, families, artists, entrepreneurs, and coffee lovers, providing a space for people to learn and grow within themselves, to flourish in their own creativity.
We are asking you to partner with us financially to see this dream come to fruition, not only for us, but for all those who will use this space to chase their dreams and help look after our beautiful planet.
So big thumbs up there from Hope at the end. Go on Kickstarter and search for Hopefully Made if you want to support them. And actually, if you Google Hopefully Made, they have got stuff for sale, clothes and postcards and cards and all kinds of stuff. You can support them like that as well. So those are some guys who have some very specific creative gifts and want to encourage others in their general creativity and creative gifts as well. So support them. That would be great. We're going to have a bit of music now that's going to lead us into prayer. So I just need to start that up and And then after that, Sean is going to, I think it's Sean, isn't it? Is it Sean going to do some prayers for us? Excellent. Good. So, right. I'm going to share my screen and we're going to just continue to reflect on creativity and how it comes from God to us, and give some stuff to God. If particularly perhaps if there's some of that graffiti on your heart and you just want to spend a bit of time talking to God about it, and some of the best way of doing that is to focus on who God is, and this song helps us to do that. So here we go. That one.
Sing a new song.
Over to you, Sean.
Okay, so we've been talking about creation and creativity, and I'm going to just focus on God being creator, knowing God in creation, and how we can be open to that. So let's just be still and quiet and just think about creation and how. Lord, we just thank you that you... Your word says that you created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says that you created us. You knitted us together in our mother's womb. The Bible says that we can know you through the beauty of creation. Lord, thank you that creation, it comes from you. Being creative comes from you. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us all the ability to be creative. And it isn't about having to think that we have to do certain things. We just need to be ourselves. We just need to create as we are. Create what you want us to do, Lord. And we just thank you for that it isn't. It isn't difficult because we all have gifts and you want them to use them for your glory. Thank you, Lord, that there are so many different gifts that we can have. It isn't just the ones that we read in the New Testament, but we can have these gifts of creativity, of woodwork, metalwork, making things for your glory. And I just pray that, Lord, as we think about this, that whoever's listening or will be listening, Lord, would just be challenged, Lord, that yeah, I can do these things. I can be creative. Just pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord, I pray that you will give us courage to step out and try things that we've always wanted to try, but we've been afraid of perhaps not being good enough. Lord, help us to understand that the quality of what we're producing is not what's important. It's the heart that's behind it. It's the reason that we're doing it. It's the love that goes into it, Lord. So I pray that you'll put those thoughts in our minds and on our hearts when we use our creativity to worship you. Amen.
And Father, I pray for those of us who feel like we've got graffiti on our hearts that is preventing us from expressing the creativity you've given us. I pray that you would scrub that away, that you would replace it with your words of delight in and over us. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I also want to thank you for the creativity that's been shown by our health workers and our government at the moment in calling forward as many people as quickly as possible to receive the COVID vaccine. Mm. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that's received this, received new hope because of the new ways that everybody's working together to come up with so that we can all be protected and have hope as quickly as possible. Amen.
Amen. there anything particular on the comment stream coming up that we want to pray into, Sarah?
Yeah, there are some sort of comments as regards COVID, which is why I just brought that in now, and also just Charlotte, we just pray for Charlotte this evening as she faces a few personal trials and tribulations like we all have. So I just pray that she will find new ways of dealing with that.
Amen. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, guys. Do keep posting stuff. Do keep praying for each other. We are coming towards the end of this edition of Shift Church. And as I said, next week's is a little bit different. It will be on at the same time, 8 o'clock still, same place, Facebook. And it will be available afterwards on YouTube and Facebook and on the podcast. What's slightly different is it is Ash Wednesday next Wednesday, which is the first day of Lent, which is the kind of 6 weeks in the lead up to Easter, where traditionally Christians have some time of reflection and thinking, and some folk kind of give something up maybe to create some space and opportunity to reflect. And Ash Wednesday is the first day of that. And normally we'd have a service in the church building. We'd have ashing and things like that. But we can't do that this year. So we're going to have an Ash Wednesday special on Shift Church. And I was just thinking that this last 12 months has been rubbish, and there's stuff happened that we mourn over, we grieve over. And I was just thinking of that ash as a symbol of lament and grieving. So we're going to be conversation. There's still going to be a few of us on the screen, but we're going to just reshape it a little bit, so we have that opportunity to do some being honest and just saying these are the things we miss, that we grieve, that we're lamenting over the last 12 months, as we kind of begin that journey of Lent towards Easter. And of course at Easter you have Jesus' death on the cross on the Friday and the resurrection hope on the Sunday, so you have both the deepest darkness and the greatest light, and Lent's the journey towards that. And I thought it would be good to start that journey by being honest with each other and just looking at some ways in which we can be honest with God about how we're feeling about everything that's happened over the last 12 months. It's going to be a little bit different, but I think Liz and Lynn are with me next week, I think. And we've got a few different things that are just going to help us do that. So
that sounds good. Before we go, can I just, because there's a couple of prayers that I'd just like to run through. One of them being from Tabby, actually, that would like us to pray for a few of her friends who've had a really tough time recently, and she's praying that God will be with them and give them comfort. So that's from Tabby. And then also Julie asking us to pray for their son Keith, who's been out of work for almost a year, and he's got a second interview tomorrow. So Julie, I absolutely no way coming from on that one. So yes, we all pray both for Tabby's friends and also for Julie's son Keith. Yeah. All will be well for them both. Yes.
Sean, would you like to lead us in prayer for them?
Yeah, definitely. Father, you know everything about us. You know when we're awake and when we're asleep. And you know our hearts, Lord. And we just lift to you Tabby's friends. Just pray for them going through this difficult time, Lord. We pray that you'd strengthen them, you'd surround them, Lord, and that they would know your presence at this time, Lord, that they would be able to get through this time with you. And for Keith, Lord, we pray that you would be with him, and for the interview that it would go really well, that he'd be positive, he'd be encouraged, and know your presence with him in that room or online if it is on online, Lord. We just ask that it would be really a positive experience and a positive outcome now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Sean. So for those of you who like watching live, we will see you live next Wednesday, next week. Those who are catching up, we'll speak to you sometime. It's been a real pleasure this evening, being a bit creative and thinking about creativity. So say goodbye, Sarah.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great week.
Say goodbye, Sean.
Goodbye and good night.
Yeah, and good night from me as well. Good night. God bless. And I've got to find out how to stop the live stream. This is it. So goodbye, everybody.